In my first conversation with Pastor Hubert, I made a slight confession to him. I told him that on these Wednesday nights, I confess that I have never paid a lick of attention to how he and Pastor Bradford have gone back and forth in leading the service. I sat and thought, how do they do this? And I just couldn't put it together. And so we kind of worked through that, didn't we, Pastor Hubert? And I think I've got it in mind, most of it at least. And I assured him that I want to keep things as much the same as they are now. I may move some of the marbles around just a little bit to find a comfort level for myself, but there's nothing that we do on Wednesday night that I want to change. However, there is one thing that I forgot to ask him. So you can take a 10-second snooze while I ask him the question. I forgot to find out what time we try to dismiss on Wednesday nights. Is it 9:30? No? Turn out the lights when I leave is what you're saying. I think it's about 8:45, isn't it? Is that right? Well, you won't give me anything, I'm telling you. Okay, 10 to late, I can live with that. You're not going to see me sitting in a chair up here on Wednesday night very often. But as I thought about this, my first night in this role, and actually my first service to be somewhat responsible for, I very quickly made the decision that I just wanted these few moments tonight to share my heart with you. A little bit about what's happening in my life and ultimately yours, and then a little bit about my vision in the next few weeks, however many weeks those are, for this Wednesday night service. I believe it's critical that we have this Wednesday night service during this period. I believe there's important work for us to do on Wednesday night that absolutely will indeed contribute to the outcome of this transition period and the arrival of a new senior pastor, and so I want to make sure that we pursue that to the best we can. First of all, let me talk a little bit about, just from my heart, I don't have a note one. I've done a lot of thinking, believe you me, and preparing in my mind, but I intentionally didn't write anything down because I just wanted to talk to you from my heart. I've watched Pastor Bradford over the last 5 years, and I'm persuaded that man has a photographic memory. You just need to be aware that I don't. I can't recall a single day when I saw him pick up a sheet of notes the whole 5 years he was here. Maybe he had them, but he had them so well hidden I never saw them. I use prolific notes. I may never look at them, but I've got them there. A lot of things like that on my mind. I've had a lot of new experiences already. And today, I think it was today, might have been yesterday, I parked my car in the spot designated for the senior pastor. And I felt like I was trespassing. I almost moved to the other side of the church. I felt so out of place. But I'm trying to get used to all of those things, and the staff has been incredible. You have an incredible staff of people working for this church, and I am not just speaking of the pastoral staff. They are wonderful people. But I have met the ladies and men that clean up after us, that will come in here tomorrow and clean this room. They clean the restrooms. They polish the floors. They clean the fusion center after the one-night activities. And everyone that I have met, they have been doing it with fulfillment and joy as they pursue their work. And I found that true of every secretary, every leader, everyone in every office, and I am so grateful for that. I told you in a few words on the first Sunday when I was introduced what happened to Deborah and I when this occurred. We were literally just almost right off a plane coming in from Africa, and in the altar area, Glenn Burnett on Sunday night stopped me. And, you know, that's a good choice. If you're going to confront somebody, do that in the altar area. The altar area is a hard place to say no, and it's a hard place not to pay attention. And he really caught my attention. And the most amazing thing occurred, which I mentioned before and want to say again tonight, is this just incredible cloud of peace and tranquility just settled on that is still there to this minute. The first thing that I thought about was, had this happened last year, it would have been utterly impossible. Normally, for the last 20 years, I have traveled to Africa 6 to 8 times a year. Some of them longer than others, and some of them really long when I consider how long it takes to recover from them. And I got off the plane on the Friday before this happened, on the only single trip on my calendar for this calendar year. And that has not happened in 20 years. Listen, guys, I don't even have a weekend scheduled to be away. And that just never happens. Now, that doesn't mean that I had been blackballed by the general counsel. Sometimes those things get filled in along the way, but that was an amazing thing that I thought about. And I have been amazed at the response of people. If there are people unhappy, they are so kind enough not to tell me, at least this first week. I've had some of my friends, my close friends, already to offer to send me an anonymous letter just so I won't feel left out. And that's all taken care of, so you don't have to bother. But I've just been overwhelmed. This is probably not a word, but I am a fretter by nation. I fret over things like this. I lose sleep. It takes me 3 years to trade cars. You think I'm kidding, but that is not too far from the truth. You ask Deborah privately and she'll tell you. I just fret over things. There hasn't been any of that. And I am not trying to convince you in any way whatsoever about me. I'm just trying to share with you a testimony from my heart that I have found myself in a place of the most incredible deep sense of peace that anyone could ever want, and it is so deep that I insist on calling it tranquility, and I praise the Lord for that. I'm grateful to be what the Lord wants me to be, where the Lord wants me to be, and when he wants me to be there. I told the church board on that first night when I met with them that throughout the length of my ministry, I have made it a practice that if my spiritual leadership would ask service of me, I have made it a practice for the last 40 years never to say no. And in all honesty and in all humility, I can't ever remember a single time of being asked by spiritual leadership to do something and just saying an abject no, I won't or I cannot do it. And I believe that the men and women that the Lord selects and we elect to serve us in this church are in some degree in spiritual leadership over us. And when that moment came, I just very easily said to them, if this is what God is saying to you and you're asking me, then I don't have a moment's hesitation to say yes. And I am at peace in that. None of this has an ounce of impact on how good I'm going to be or how lousy I'm going to be. In fact, I told the board my greatest contribution might be to be so ordinary the next guy just looks fantastic. And if I can do that, that won't be a worthless contribution. So I'm going to do the very best I can. I've had so many people say to me, we're going to pray for you. And I take every one of those dead serious because I know how desperately we need those prayers, and I'm counting on them entirely and am grateful for them, and will be praying for all of you as well. As I said on that first Sunday, I have a passionate love for this church. And because of that, I can say I have a passionate love for all of you. I love every one of you. Some of you I know a lot better than others, but I love every one of you. And I just believe God's going to help us and lead us through this. I have an incredible burden to give us a sense of continuity and stability. The Lord talks to my heart that way, that that's what he wants me to help contribute, is just a sense of going on for God and staying stable and steady. And continuity is a factor that I think is important to that. And by God's grace, I want to be able to do that. I want to be able to contribute to those incredible men and women that serve on this staff. Enough of you are ministry people to know and agree with me very quickly. Our set of problems in life are not any different than anyone else's. They may be multiplied, in fact, many times over some other people. And I recognize this, and I want to be available to undergird and strengthen and encourage and mentor and do anything that can be done to encourage every one of them for their future and in the contribution that they're making toward the segment of our congregation that they are especially focused on. I've prayed about every prayer I know how to pray. That isn't true. That would be an exaggeration. But I have prayed more prayers than I can account for, and more prayers than I can remember. And a lot of them have been sentence prayers, as I'm sitting at my desk thinking or working, and something comes to mind, and I just find myself praying, Lord, don't let me embarrass myself. And I've prayed, Lord, don't let me embarrass anybody. Lord, don't let me overlook anybody. Don't let me ignore anybody. You just name it, and I'm in the process of praying those prayers, and I'm trusting that the Lord will answer them. I believe he does as we call upon him, and I need your prayers and want them as well. I especially look forward to this Wednesday night time together. Next Wednesday night, I believe, if the Lord continues to direct me as he is now, we're going to start a study in the book of James. I think it was 2006, 3 years ago, Pastor Bradford presented a short series of messages from the book of James, but my plan is just to start with James 1:1, and I don't know that we will do verse by verse or segment by segment or chapter by chapter. I'm a little hesitant to get into too many series sermons because an interim pastor never knows whether he's going to have enough Sundays to complete that or not. But nonetheless, the weeks that we're together, we're going to look into the book of James and see how the Lord wants to speak to our hearts there. The 20 years that I've been living here in Springfield, and just for your information, we started our stay here in Springfield as a result of the Decade of Harvest. Many of you will remember that emphasis, which in some ways did not gain a great deal of traction in some segments of our own nation. But in the regions of the world, it was big-time stuff. That's the period of time when the Africa Assemblies of God grew from about 2 million people to about 12 million in that time frame. They took it very serious, and God did some incredible things. And we actually came to the States in 1989 to give coordination to Africa's Decade of Harvest. That's what brought us here in the first place. At that time, we rapidly reached a decision that if this was going to do anything, it wouldn't be because it was simply another program. It would be because it was touched and anointed by the Lord. And so we actually created a prayer ministry that would undergird the Decade of Harvest. We put ads in the Pentecostal Evangel calling for people to join us in a prayer ministry for Africa, and thinking that Pentecostal people by nature pray. And we didn't get but about 20, 24 responses from those ads in the Pentecostal Evangel, and about 80% of those were from prisoners incarcerated in prisons across the United States. But the Lord did bless the effort, and over the years it has grown until now we have about 5,000 people who pray with us uniquely for Africa. The last 20 years, I've spent motivating that group and communicating with that group and praying with that group. One of the things we did in connection with that was to start a noon prayer and fasting session here in Springfield. It meets every Tuesday, and it still meets. It's been meeting for 20 years. It's nothing spectacular or eye-catching, but God has done some incredible things by people just faithfully praying. Every month I write, we publish a newsletter that is mostly prayer requests, but I get to write in there every month about prayer or some element of prayer. None of that to say to you that I bring to this meeting any particular expertise, not at all. Maybe the only thing that it needs to say to you is that I've learned some things over the last 20 years of dealing with a consistent, persistent, disciplined prayer program of this nature. People count on us to be faithful to them. They count on us every week to be prepared to pray and to focus on prayer. And I've learned a great deal about prayer. And I'm not going to try to give you a lesson in that tonight, but it does somewhat probably characterize the way I'll lead this meeting at times. One of the things that has unfolded before me in this ministry over the last 20 years has been the incredible importance and significance of praying detail. We have learned that you can plan and prepare and motivate for a great meeting all you want to and prepare the greatest evangelist to come with the greatest anointing to preach it. But if airplanes don't fly and visas aren't granted and folks don't get there, they don't receive the blessings that they could receive. So we learn to pray about detail. And that's why I think this season, whenever we're involved in the transition to a new senior pastor, we need to be very persistent in praying. We need to be praying for somebody's children if they have children. We need to pray for somebody's wife if they're the one that's called to move here among us. We need to be praying about houses selling and all kinds of details that are involved in the process that is really uppermost in our minds right now in many ways. So I probably, you'll find me praying a lot about details. We pray about luggage not getting lost as missionaries. We pray about containers of stuff not getting held up in customs. We pray that ornery, belligerent, stubborn, bullheaded customs agents will just melt before us when we go and try to get something out. You know, this is very, very practical praying, and I want to lead us in that respect as we go through this next season together of just praying about details. I believe those things are so very important. And secondly, community is so very significant in prayer. I was raised as part of my tradition in the Assemblies of God, and I'm third generation Pentecostal. Many of you will relate to what I'm telling you, but I was raised in a tradition where the altar, it was a place, but it was also an experience. That's where I heard the call of God and confirmed it in my life. That's where I was saved. That's where I was filled with the Holy Spirit. That's where I reconsecrated myself again and again and again. That's where I was standing when Glenn Burnett talked to me about what's happening right now. And to me, the altar is an experience. And I still live today on those altar experiences. I love the altar experiences we have here. That is something that is incredibly valuable in Central Assembly. And I love it, and I cherish it, and I relish it. This next Sunday night, we're going to focus entirely on a service of worship and prayer. And part of that will just be gathering in the altar. It doesn't make any difference whether you kneel at an altar bench or whether you're on a step or on the front row or just sitting in your pew. Let's make it an altar and wait on God and hear from God. And so I just wanted to share my heart with you that this service for me is extremely important. And I want you to pray that the Lord will help us all to realize that. Let's be faithful. Let's come trusting the Lord. Let's come with clarity of heart and see what the Lord will do. The man who followed Lauren Triplett as executive director of World Missions, John Bueno, made a comment one time that I can almost repeat word for word. He said something to this effect. You know those wonderful missionary stories that you hear our missionaries tell? What you need to understand is that a missionary spends about 90% of his time just plodding along. And it's about 10% of his time that something spectacular or noteworthy or newsletter-worthy happens. Now, Brother Bueno wasn't accusing us of being lazy, shiftless, good-for-nothing slouchers. That's not what he was saying. When he said we spend our time plotting, we spend our time doing what's right and what is essential. There are times when we come in here on Wednesday night and the fire of heaven is almost visible. The power of God, you can almost reach out and take it in your hands. But many other times we come in here and you know you come tired, you come with other things on your mind, and the work of intercession is really hard, but we do it anyway. That's just plodding. And if we plod along doing what is right, praying to the Lord, praising the Lord, worshiping God, living faithful, believing His Word, delving into the Word, following Him to the very best of our building, our capacity, just plodding along, doing what we know to do, we can well believe that those moments of glory and grace and power and miracle and answer are going to come. And that's what I'm believing the Lord to help us to do. Whether we're here next week plodding through a tough prayer meeting, or whether someone is dancing in the aisle. I've never seen that at Central, but it's sure not impossible. We'll be fine with me. Let's just be busy about the Lord's work. Now, I know I've gone over just a little bit, but I want you to do one more thing before we go. I want you to stand, and I want you to come down to the front. As you're coming to the front, I want you to press in close. I want you to be close to each other. And I just want us to end this first prayer meeting that I'm responsible for in just a moment of closeness as a community of the Lord. And just sense everyone near. And just think a moment how much this family means to you. There are people here that have blessed you with the preaching of the Word. They've blessed you by their example. They've blessed you by speaking into your lives in 100 ways, or they've just blessed you by the fact that every Sunday you can look in the general area of our congregation and find them in their normal place every week. And what a model that is in the day in which you and I live. So I want us to end this service tonight your own fashion. I'm going to raise my hands and my voice. You do whatever you want to do in a concluding prayer of praise and thanksgiving for this church, for 100 years of ministry, and for however many years the church has ministered to you. Let's just blatantly praise God for this church, for this body of believers. Lord, we do that tonight with full hearts and grateful hearts, oh God. Thank you for this church, oh God. Thank you what you did 100 years ago in bringing this church into existence. Thank you that the fire of the Spirit of God still burns today, that people are still being born again, that people are still being filled with your Spirit, that our young people are still being called to ministry. Our lives are still being blessed. We're still being nurtured. We're still being uplifted. We're still being strengthened. We're still being renewed, oh God. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for every yesterday. Thank you for today. Thank you for what you're going to do among us tomorrow, Lord, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we love you and we praise you in the Lord's name. In the Lord's name tonight. In the Lord's name we pray. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise your name, Lord. Let's go from this room tonight and trust God for a great finish to this week and a great day Sunday with the presence of the Lord blessing us abundantly above all we can ask or think. Amen? God bless you. We'll see you Sunday. I guess I'll have to take 10 minutes off next Wednesday night to make up for it.